So here we are, day two of the Weakening Heart retreat, and after having been launched, I thought very... I can't think of the word that's going to... The word that came to mind was cohesive, but that's not the right word, actually. Coherent, thank you, that's it, coherently and thoroughly, and quite inspiring, actually. For me, it was just quite inspiring to retouch into that whole material on the three myths, and it seemed from what people and you were saying in the groups yesterday afternoon that, you know, it also kind of sparked off interest and attention in you as well. So that's a good start yesterday. So this is sort of day two of these two. Well, I called them introductory days on the program, but I was thinking this morning, it's actually what we're doing yesterday and today is laying the foundation, really, for the retreat. And so we have these three myths still up there on the flip chart. And Sadhanandi, after putting them up, she was telling us that when she thought about it again, the words that came particularly to mind were effort, receptivity, and faith. And so there you are. So we've had that presented to us. And I was thinking about it. I was thinking, oh, what kind of keywords would I put up? And actually, I could go very happily with the ones that Sadhanandi suggested. Some others came to mind. So I came up with, what the first one, development one, when we're being strategists, or I'm being a strategist, being strategic with myself and my practice, and all of that kind of approach capability. So there's being, it's when we're being strategic. And the discovery one, or emergence one, I last night I was thinking of it in terms of it's when I intuit my own inner richness and trust that. So something about trusting that inner response, looking to it, giving it the space for the intuition to arise. So intuiting our own inner richness. I mean, that's an important part of that discovery receptivity. Despite our fears that there may be no richness. Of course, that also happens, as I heard one or two people saying yesterday in our group, and that may have been the case in the other group. Those fears come up, of course. No getting away from that. But the actual approach is about intuiting inner richness and trusting that. And then the third one. Actually, I couldn't really think of a word better than surrender, to be honest. But I kept trying. I came up with just letting go. I mean, we got that up on the flip chart. So just letting go. I added letting go and praying. So if there's intuiting and listening to the inner richness, is also just letting go and praying to what we trust as an outer richness in a certain way, or a helping presence. In the universe. And so I suppose so Sadhanandi yesterday was just encouraging us to learn to do all of these. We'll always have a preference and even a talent for one or two, perhaps other than others, but just it is necessary to learn how to use all of these to some extent and then move between them appropriately and creatively. And I think we started to get a sense of that, because there's an obvious way in which some of the disadvantages or the possible wrong turnings you can take with some of these approaches are very much countered by the good, the qualities, the kind of positive qualities in the others. So it does begin to present itself as a, definitely as a mandala. Now, I also think it creates, or it raises a question about, well, what are we going to use these myths for? That may seem an odd question to ask, given that here we are and it's a meditation retreat for everyone who's asked and wants to join the order or has joined the order. So, in some senses, the answer to that's obvious. Here we are, unenlightened. We believe that there's an enlightened state that would be much more satisfying. We believe that at least you know, certain human beings have attained that, and we believe in our own ability to attain that, and we want to engage in that transformation. So in a way, that's the obvious answer to the question, isn't it? What are we going to use it for? I'm just raising it because I think it's just good to restate that for ourselves, and also take on board that actually you can use these models for different, for all sorts of other things. So yeah, we know what we do want to use it for really deep down, but we're probably using them for all sorts of other things to get other desires fulfilled. So probably just a good idea to acknowledge that. So it's what we're going to use these for. And then I think there's another question about how persistent are we? How persistent are we? If we could, this minute, this moment, if we could choose between samsara and nirvana, and according to, you know, the emergent model, we have the capacity right now. If we could choose, well, we can choose, God, you know, we can choose, what would we do? And it brings to mind a few stories. You probably remember, you know these, I should think, but there's the one about the fisherwoman who's spending the night in the flower shop and going, oh, there's a funny smell in here. I'll never be able to sleep with this smell of the flowers and the blossoms and the perfume. And she sticks a fish basket over her head. Yeah. And then there's another one that came to mind also about an old woman who's in the temple in front of the statue of Amitabha praying away, save me, let me enter, please, please, please let me enter the pure land. That's all I want to do. Dear Amitabha, please help me. I'm just an old woman here. I have no way of doing it. And there's a voice comes from behind the statue because it's the monk. Going behind the statue, going, and suddenly she hears a voice saying, come now. Come, of course, come now. And she runs up, runs out of the temple shouting, you know, did you not know it was, could you not just, you know it was just a little joke? And I don't think that's quite what she said, but it's something like that. It's something like that. It was just my little joke. I didn't really mean it. So it's interesting, all of that, isn't it? And, having come up with two stories that were about old women, I was racking my brains to try and come up with a story about a man. just to keep things in balance. And the only one that came to mind was the story about the two monks who are approaching a river, and it's in Spate. And there's a woman, and she is needing help to get across, so she says, could you help me? And the one monk goes, well, you know, basically it's going to mean that she needs carried over. And the one monk goes, well, no, I can't help you. I'm a monk. I can't help you. And the other monk lifts her up, carries her over, puts her down. You know, she probably thanks him. The two monks walk on other side of the river. And for the next 7 miles, the first monk says, what were you doing? That's a disgrace. I mean, that's a disgrace. I mean, you know, that's rule 69, subsection 2, paragraph 3, and... No, you know, you're not meant to touch women. And what have you been? Oh, no, 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 no. And at the end of 7 miles, of course, the second monk says, look, I just picked women up, carried her over the river, put her down, left her behind. You've had her in your mind for 7 miles. You know, it's all of that, isn't it? So it's the question about how persistent are we? And if we could choose right in the minute, actually, what is it that we do? Do we put the fish basket over our heads?